Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude this study of Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 through 30, titled Getting to Know Epaphroditus. This is part 2.
This statement, in order to be missed, there had to be something there. When you miss somebody, one of the things you ought to think about is the fact that I miss them because there was something to them. There's something there. And when someone's just kind of all about themselves, they're not missed when they're gone. And it's really sad. I know some people I graduated from high school have died. Years go by before any of us even knew it. No one missed them. Didn't even know they were gone. Even their own family didn't really say much about it. Why? They had kind of created that situation. They had lived that way. And Epaphroditus was the opposite. Got to ask you, would you be missed? If you pass away right now, would you be missed? Is there something there? Is there a reason for people to miss you? I think I look around and say, anybody in this room were to pass away, we'd miss you. What about outside of the church family, though? What about out there, your workplace, your other family, your neighborhood, wherever? Would you be missed? Let's finish the chapter then, verses 28 through 30. I'm going to read the first couple of verses there, because Paul says, I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. So, in that night, wouldn't that be wonderful? You getting ready to go visit a church, and the Apostle Paul sends a letter of recommendation ahead of you? They'd be looking forward to meeting you, brother, sister. Paul says this guy's something else. Paul says this is the real deal. If Paul says that, I want to meet this guy. Yeah. So, verse 30, read that with me. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Ouch. See how Paul just sticks that right in there? Did you notice what he said there? He says, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh to death. He was sick and dying. Somehow or other, his serving the Lord had stretched him to the point of death. And it says, not regarding his life. That's how self-sacrificial he was. His favorite praise chorus wasn't, me, 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 me. But I've said, churches today, a lot of them, that should be their theme song. Let's all stand and praise the God we serve. Me, 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 me. That was not Epaphroditus' song. And then Paul says, to supply your lack of service toward me. Talk about these Philippian believers. That's just something to think about. There are these guys like Epaphroditus who kind of make up for the losses. For all the people who don't do anything for the Lord, there's the Epaphroditus's, and he summed up in the words, not regarding his life. If there's a tombstone somewhere for Epaphroditus, that should be on there. Epaphroditus, not regarding his life. And a note, this was put here by those who knew him, and not by Epaphroditus himself. He didn't toot his own horn. Other people should be the ones tooting your horn. And then it also comes down to your source of joy. He talks about gladness and joy. And it's a simple question. Are you serving yourself or serving others? And it applies to all aspects of life. You take any man or woman as husband and wife, and if they want to serve each other, they're going to have a good marriage. You take friends, if they're always doing for each other, they're going to have a good friendship. You take a church full of people, and if they're always trying to do for one another, there's going to be a good spirit in that church. There's going to be a lot of good things happen among those believers. But once that spirit of self-centeredness and selfishness comes into any relationship, that's when you're going to start to have trouble. Now, Epaphroditus wrote the original epistle to the Philippians as dictated by Paul. Some of you, do you have that note at the end of verse 30 in your Bible? Not all Bibles put it in there. Raise your hand if you have it. Anybody? Otis has it. Stephen, you have it. It doesn't mean you should burn your Bible, but I'm just telling you, it's a shame they don't put that. It was in the manuscript, so it should be there. Steve, read that. What does it say there? Listen to Stephen read that.
It's written from Rome unto the Ephesians. To Ephesians. Also to
Philippians. All right, read that one. Listen, read loud.
It was written to the Philippians from Rome by Epaphroditus.
You see? That's right after verse 23 at the very end. We'll see it again when we come to the end. So, Paul, who we believe had a vision problem, in Galatians he said, "See with what large letters I used to write you," because Doug and I can identify. Amen. Some of you in the back can probably read my Bible from back there. The print's so large. Well, Velma, not everybody, but. I've actually tested that, and someone with really good vision, and they can actually read it because the text is so big. It's about about as big a print as you can get in a Bible you can carry. So I can identify. So what did Paul do? He would dictate, and Epaphroditus, this guy we've been talking about, he sat there and listened to Paul and wrote down everything he wrote, and you're reading it.
Wow.
What a thing. So, the point that Paul's making is to be like Epaphroditus. Be like Epaphroditus. He worked. If work is a dirty word to you, repent. W-O-R-K. Work. Fight. Oh, I thought we were just supposed to be all nice and sweet and always loving. Well, you try to, but there's times where you have to take a stand and fight.
Amen.
Serve. Serve. That just simply means stop thinking about yourself and start doing things for others.
Amen.
Serve and love. Because everything the Bible says, we use the word charity in our King James Bible. Faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is charity. Why? Because everything's driven by love. Epaphroditus loved Jesus. And because of that, he had the Spirit of Jesus in him, made him love others. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus told a bunch of Pharisees that had 613 laws to follow, plus all the Talmudic teachings. And Jesus said, you can hang all your law. Love the Lord thy God. Love your neighbor as yourself. That was profound. Always will be. And that starts with being saved. Amen?
Amen.
It all had to start with Epaphroditus being saved. He knew he was a sinner. He knew he needed to be saved. He knew Jesus had died on the cross and shed his blood and paid the full price for sin. And he knew Jesus rose again.
Amen.
And he was trusting in that gospel for eternal salvation. Epaphroditus didn't work to be saved. He worked because he was saved. Amen?
Amen?
I don't want to leave any impression that Epaphroditus did all this so he could earn his way to heaven. That terrible gospel song is, I'm going up on the rough side of the mountain. And it says basically one of these days they'll make it if they keep climbing. And that's not salvation.
Amen.
Salvation was paid for in full by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now we work and we serve, we do those things because we are saved.
Amen.
Not in order to be saved. And I want to close by turning over to 2 Timothy 2:3-4. This is our close here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And I just love how this wonderful man was referred to as a fellow soldier. And Paul, over here, writing to another fellow soldier named Timothy. This is his second epistle, second letter to Timothy. Chapter 2, beginning of verse 3, we'll read verses 3 and 4. Read that with me. Thou therefore endure hardness. Wait a minute. Some of you can't read. Jenny will teach you. Jenny, we can get you with you. All right, ready? You want to read with me? Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be his soldier. Now, some people try to go so far extreme on this. It doesn't mean you don't work. It doesn't mean you don't vote. It doesn't mean you don't pay your taxes. It doesn't mean you don't do those things. What it means, what it says, you don't entangle yourself in those things. You take care of business. Jesus did. Of course, we can't quite do what Jesus did when he owed taxes. He told Peter to go look in the mouth of a fish. There'll be a coin in there. Give it to him. Well, it'd be nice if we could do that, but that's, yeah. we do pay our taxes. We believe in obeying the law. And we believe in doing the things we should do, but we don't entangle ourselves with them. And that's what a good soldier doesn't get entangled in things that hinder his ability to fight. There's story after story. Brother John, I know, is a student of history. Stephen could tell you some stories in time of war where the weaker army won because the other side got entangled in something. It can be actually physically entangled in something, or George Washington led some troops and won a battle because a bunch of German soldiers who were fighting on behalf of England were drunk. They got entangled in Christmas and getting drunk, and they lost big time. And all that's why you shouldn't be drunk. Amen? Be not drunk with wine, where is excess. That can be something that entangles you, or you can allow relationships to entangle you. You can allow your job to entangle you. You can become so dedicated to your job that you put off other things God would have you to do. Shouldn't do that. Yes. Yeah, you talk about sports. The best team doesn't always win, does it? And a lot of times you find out. I remember back the Bengals, when I was still a Bengals fan. I don't care about the NFL anymore. But the Bengals went to the playoffs, or went to the Super Bowl, and they looked terrible. And all of us had watched them all year long and said, what in the world? They got the flu or something? Come to find out, there's a bunch of them doing cocaine. And it came out later.
Wow.
And they were messed up trying to play football. They got entangled in drugs.
Wow.
There's a poor fella, one of the top recruits in high school football in Pennsylvania, committed to Penn State in July. 2 weeks later, arrested, or no, actually 2 weeks later, robbed a place with a couple of friends. Armed robbery.
Wow.
They arrested him this week after they got all the evidence. Flushed a free ride to Penn State and any hopes of going pro. He'll be in prison. Got entangled in that culture, that lifestyle with the bad boys instead of staying the course with a good crowd. Gone. But it doesn't always have to be headlines, folks. People, day after day, Christians are getting entangled and falling. And it's a warning, folks. It's a warning. Take it. Heed. Take heed of this warning. Don't get entangled in something that's going to ruin you.
Amen.
And that was what, of course, Timothy, Epaphroditus, and Paul were never guilty of that. So I'll leave you with that as we sing about it in hymn number 414. Hymn number 414. You see Gloria down here. Can you hear her? Hear Gloria? Oh, she heard her name. She's going to stop now. she's putting into practice what I was saying, because she thinks her dad's going to try to entangle her and make her sleep. She's fighting. Let's all stand, if you would. Sing 414, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? This song out. She had no idea how perfect this song is for the message you heard today. I want to sing that third verse again. Pay attention to these last two verses as we sing.
Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this my world a friend to grace? Help me on to God.
Sing it a cappella.
I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toll, endure the pain, supported by thy word.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message at the end here of chapter 2 from Paul, introducing us to Brother Epaphroditus. We do look forward to seeing all of our loved ones in heaven, and that includes Brother Epaphroditus. We thank you for the record that we have of his life and his witness and his example as he followed Paul, as Paul followed Christ. May we follow these men of God in our lives, being an example, being a servant. All for the glory and praise of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
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 Wilson Hill Park. Old stomping grounds. Gonna hit the neighborhood with Chick Tracks.
Got me and the missus here in the neighborhood with an airplane flying over. That's not my belly. She's got track. Show that track again. I'm blocking it with one of our tracks. Show the backside. Church information.
Jeff Martis's logo.
We're going to put out 50 of them on 50 doorknobs in the neighborhood. And here's how we're doing it. So we take a rubber band and open the track up to somewhere close to the middle. Slip the rubber band like so. Show them. Hold it up there with the rubber band.
Let me do another one.
All right, do another one. It's real simple, real easy. Rubber bands are cheap. And there you hang it on the door. Nice. So this is how you do it. You have your track in hand. And you simply walk up to the door. And you place the track on the doorknob. It's a Saturday night, and not very many people are home right now. But when they do get home, they'll have a gospel tract on their door.
Uncle Mike's old house.
And just like that, husband and wife, out on date night, put out 50 tracks. And we walked off the cake and ice cream we'd eaten at a birthday party before doing this.
So it's healthy. And we do it because we love Jesus. Amen?
That was easy.
That was easy. And no dog sparked at me. I didn't get shot at.
Great song, but a great song.
I hear Amen.